Welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. This week, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, Mom Confessions, where we find out what I was hiding from Augie and what Shauna was feeding her children. And we close with our BFPs and BFNs for the week. Let's get to it. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is episode 182. Hi, Shauna.
Hey.
Hey. So as you can hear, I'm still not 100%, but my voice is a lot better.
Good.
I can go into the higher registers.
Oh, good. Now you can show some legitimate enthusiasm for the things I'm going to say.
I swear I had real enthusiasm last week. I just could not express it properly.
Yay. I remember that. Yeah.
Yay. But I do feel like I have a little bit of like a sexy voice this week with extra vocal fry.
Yeah, definitely.
But enough about me and my sexy voice. Shauna, I want to hear what's been going on with you and your girls this week.
This has been a doozy of a week.
Uh-oh.
Buckle in, folks.
Okay. Click, click. Do we need a 5-point harness? Click, 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 click.
Click. Yeah, all the clicks. Okay, get in tight.
All right.
Pull that strap as tight as it can be. I know on the show before I've been like, oh, wow, I had a week, or like, wow, that was the toughest week of my parenting. I think this one takes the cake. And I'll tell you about it because that's what we do on this show.
Yes, it is. Okay, yeah, I want to hear about this because I think I know what's been going on, but we haven't gotten to talk in too much detail. So let's get into it.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, we have our dog Chili, our little old guy. I've mentioned him a lot on the show. He's kind of like an additional character on the show. And he's been on and off sick for a while. And I should also mention that this is Thanksgiving week. So this is like the very beginning of Thanksgiving week, right? Mm-hmm. So I've got my mind on like family coming in town for Thanksgiving. I took some time off work. Really looking forward to the holiday and everything. And at the very beginning of the week, Chili started feeling sick, like he just wasn't himself. He wasn't eating or drinking, et cetera. And so I took him to the vet and I got some bad news about Chili. I should also say that, just a warning, this story does not end well for Chili. If this is not something you want to hear about, you don't want to hear about pet loss, please, by all means, fast forward. Like, please, no offense taken. So that was like Monday, I think, I got the news. And we had to make the decision to put Chili down, which is, I've never been through that in my life. And I spent like 3 straight days like sobbing over this, like just crying my eyes out and like thinking of letting him go. But I knew it was the right thing to do because he was so sick, and like the interventions to help him would have been just too much. Like they were like, to help him, he was in advanced kidney failure basically. So they're like, to help him, he would need to be put into the hospital for 3 days and like have his kidneys flushed out, and that might not even help. And like this little old guy couldn't even like handle like standing in the kitchen and walking a few feet. You know what I mean? Like, I just didn't want to do that to him. So anyway.
Yeah, when I saw him last, it was in the summer. We came over for one of the holiday barbecue type things, I think, or maybe just
Labor Day.
Labor Day. It was Labor Day. Yeah. And he was in rough shape already. I could tell. I hadn't seen him in so long because of the pandemic. And I felt so bad for him because poor little guy. He, you know, usually, if when I came over, he would just run over and jump right on my lap. And this time, you know, everyone's just sort of like walking over him, basically, because he didn't even want to register that people were there. And
I know.
Poor little old man.
Yeah. So, yeah, he spent a few months just kind of laying around and sleeping a lot, but not in any pain, and still would get excited to eat and everything. And then this was just different. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So we made an appointment with an in-home vet to come over and, you know, help us, help him transition. And I just was like devastated. I could barely focus or work. And then, of course, the next thought as a parent is, how do I handle this information with my kids? So, wow, that that was not easy or fun.
Yeah, I don't even know where you'd begin to talk about something like that. Like, how? Tell me.
Oh, it was so hard. Like, I kept going back and forth in my mind, like, what language do I use to tell her?
Hungarian. Hungarian is the answer.
Yes, she was completely confused the whole time. But hey, she didn't feel sad, so it's all good.
Sorry, I can't stop making jokes. Death makes me uncomfortable. Go on.
Oh. So, like, you know, I want to be, like, euphemistic, but not too euphemistic. Like, I don't want to be like, we're putting Chili to sleep, because then I don't want her to have any weird association with sleep. And I keep saying her, because it really is mostly Elle, right? Because she's older, and Cece is, like, just on the cusp of, like, knowing what the hell's going on in the world. So it's really kind of more focused on Elle. And I remembered this book, Lifetimes, that I got a few months ago, that just a book about life and death and how it's like the natural rhythm of every living thing. And I had gotten that a while back and read it with the girls. They were familiar with it. And so I was like, you know, I think what I'm going to say is that Chili, as we all know, is really old and really sick, and his body's not working anymore, and it's his time to go. And so we're going to have a vet come over to the house to help him end his lifetime, because that's the kind of the language that the book uses. Mm-hmm. So it didn't feel too frilly. It didn't feel as harsh as like Chili's going to die tomorrow at, you know.
That's so
which is the reality of it, and it's so fucked up, but it's like, so I felt like that was a happy medium. So we got that book out, and we also got the book out, Invisible String, which you recommended. Mm-hmm. So we got those two books out and brought the girls and Chili into the living room and sat on the couch, and we're like, hey, we want to read a book with you and have a talk, you know, about Chili and stuff. And we start reading Lifetimes, and about halfway through, Elle just like freezes and like gets really uncomfortable and shuts the book and just starts crying.
Aww.
And Steve's like, you know what this is about, don't you? And she's like, yes, and like bawling. And so then we finally put it into, you know, our words so she would know exactly what was going to happen. It's like, tonight's your night to say goodbye to Chili. Tomorrow the vet's going to come and help him while you're at school, and he's not going to come back anymore. And oh my God, she was like hyperventilating practically. Aww. She was crying so hard. And Cece was there, but kind of, you know, she was kind of understanding it conceptually, but not emotionally in that way. And I was bawling, and like Steve had to read the book for me because I couldn't even like say one word of it. And oh my God. Yeah, it was really hard.
Oh my God, that sounds so hard. I'm like getting all choked up just thinking about it. Poor Elle.
Mm, yeah.
You know, I got that book after you'd mentioned on the podcast, what, like months ago or whatever, because, you know, it just seemed useful. And I have not read it with Augie yet, because I like read it by myself in the kitchen when it first arrived and like started crying. And I was like, I don't think I'm ready to read this with Augie at the moment, you know, because my cat is very, very old, but more to the point, my dad is very, very sick. And so I don't know like how to really talk to him about it. So I was like, oh, this book will be good. But I'm like, I have to be able to get through the book too.
Yeah.
And it's a very sentimental book. That and The Invisible String, that one page where it's like, does Uncle So-and-so have the string in heaven? And you're just like, oh my God.
I know. Oh. And for people who don't know, The Invisible String is about a mom teaching her kids that like we have this invisible string of love connection with everybody that we love, like whether or not they're alive or far away or whatever. And so, yeah, that page is hard. And we were just trying to talk about how we'll always be connected with Chili, even though he's not here, and et cetera. Yeah.
So, okay, so she had a hard time that night. How did it go the next day? What was like the rest of it like for y'all?
So, yeah, we definitely wanted to schedule it while she was at school. At first, Steve was like, well, maybe she should be here for it. And I was like, I don't know about that. Mm-hmm. That just seems like a bit much. Like, we can just really prepare her for what's going to happen and let her, you know, say goodbye to him. So in the morning, we all, you know, she said goodbye to Chili and went to school. And then the vet came, and she was amazing. Just like the kindest, peaceful, just super respectful person. Just let us have all of our emotions. And Steve set up like a nice little area out in the backyard and put all our flowers and candles. It was really sweet, you know, but it was really hard. And Cece was right by my side the whole time. Like, you know, the whole thing was like an hour, and she just like stood there. She was pretty quiet. She was talking occasionally. She was like, Chili really sick. Chili's old, you know, and kept talking about that. And then would sit on my lap, and give me comfort and everything. And yeah, and then we said goodbye to our little chill bud.
Oh, Chili. He was the best dog. Sorry, Sasha.
Yes. I know.
But Chili really just was the sweetest. He has such a special place in my heart. He was also like my personal lap dog, like I mentioned. Like, I couldn't squat down in your house without him jumping up on my lap.
I just love that so much. Like, you would just be on your tiptoes squatting down to pet him, and he'd be like, there's a lap on those knees, and then just jump up.
Then I'm like balancing on my tippy toes while I'm squatting.
Oh my God, he loved you so much. And like, all our friends like really loved him and stuff, because, you know, we've had, before we had kids, we had parties all the time and friends over, and I have so many pictures of you and other friends snuggling with Chili on the couch, and just everyone loved him, and he was so sweet with the girls, and it was just, yeah, it's really, really hard to say goodbye and to do it when you have kids and trying to navigate all of that stuff too.
And during Thanksgiving week.
Yeah, that was just the beginning of my week.
What?
I don't want to go. I don't want to go too long in my check-in. I don't know. Maybe I'll save it for our ending segment.
Oh, okay. All right. I know that, I know it was a rough week, so my heart goes out to you. I was sending you lots of texts and booze.
Yes, yes, thank you, God. That was so needed. It was just like, you sent me exactly what I needed tonight. And a beautiful orchid. Like, it's not like I only needed booze. I needed beautiful things in my life. So thank you.
Well, I'm glad I could send you something at least and give you a virtual hug, but...
Yeah, that was
Chili will be missed. Sweet guy.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. A little chill bud. All right. Anyway, hope your week was better. Why don't you tell us what's going on in your world?
All right. I'm going to lighten the mood a little bit. I don't actually have anything super dramatic this week, but I am going to talk about how I am. I don't know what you would call it. I feel like it's like reverse nesting or like re-nesting. The way it feels is, it feels just like the nesting instinct when you're in your third trimester, but obviously I'm not pregnant. I'm not. Mm-hmm. I took a test just to make sure.
Oh, okay. Just based on your nesting instincts?
Yeah, actually. Yeah. I bought another like 50 pack of those cheap pregnancy tests because I have like a Mirena IUD and I'm nursing. So like, I don't get my periods. If I do, I get like weird random spotting. Like, who knows? So I just like take a test whenever I feel like any type of symptom that's out of the ordinary. And the nesting urge was one of those out of the ordinary instincts.
Yeah.
So, but I'm calling it reverse nesting because it's like, I'm suddenly wanting to get rid of all the like baby stuff, all the little baby stuff, because, you know, Sebastian's 9 months old. He's almost 10 months old. And there's just so much he doesn't need anymore. So like, there was this old high chair that we never even used with him. That's like one of the ones that you strap to a regular dining chair that was like taking up a lot of space. A ton of like 6 to 9 month clothes that he just suddenly like growth spurted out of. And luckily, my friend Grace is about to have a baby, like, you know, in a month or something, less than a month.
Oh.
And so I've just been like sending boxes of shit to her, which is very exciting. She's having a boy. Unfortunately, she lives in Oregon. So like, I can't send her the big stuff, but I've been like sending anything I can to her. I keep being like, are you sure you want a big another big box? And she's like, yes, yes, I do. I'm like, all right, here you go. And that stuff is fine, right? Like the high chair, whatever, get it out of my house. The clothes, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is going to one of my oldest friends. I'm so excited, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I had a real hang up for one thing and I almost didn't give it away.
Mm.
That was the baby bath.
The baby bath? What in the world for? Would you keep that?
Well, logically, there's no reason. I mean, Sebastian is way too big for it now. You know, it sits on top of the kitchen sink and there's just no reason he needs it. He sits in the big bath now.
Mm-hmm.
But Shauna, I bathed both my little babies in that bath.
Aww, yeah.
When they were little itty bitty newborns.
I know. So that's true.
I I'm getting teary eyed just thinking about it. Probably because we also just talked about Chili, but but I got so sentimental about giving it away. I was like, well, maybe we should just hold on to it as a memento. And like, this is very not my style. Like, I usually do not have that much like attachment to objects, and I'm just like, good riddance, get it out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like I almost didn't give it away.
Wow.
But then I was just like, I got to tear off this Band-Aid. And I listed it like on Facebook Marketplace for free. And I was like, you know what? If someone needs it, someone needs it. And it got like six people immediately. Can I pick this up today?
Oh, wow.
So I was like, okay, there's a need out there.
Yeah.
Someone else needs it. So I let someone else take it. But I was definitely like verklempt over it.
Did you take a selfie with it before you let it go?
No, I didn't. Okay. I should have. I mean, I have lots of pictures of me and the babies in the bath. So
yeah,
it's just a big piece of plastic. I'm glad it's got another baby inside of it right now, hopefully.
Yeah. So,
yeah. So that was kind of like a surprise for me because I was like so into this, like, we're going to clear out all this stuff and we're going to make space. And I've been going to the storage unit. We're trying to clear that out. So I've just been like doing like carloads of shit. And I'm like, wow. I'm doing great. And then it was like big hunk of plastic that's completely useless for us right now. And I'm just like, but I don't know if I can get rid of it.
It unleashed a well of feelings that were probably somewhere deep down about getting rid of all the baby stuff in general. Don't you think? Like, this is our last baby, getting rid of all this stuff. And then like the tub was the thing that like pushed you over.
Yes. Yeah. No, absolutely. Like, I would say that their feelings aren't that deep down. They're pretty surface level at this point. Because I'm like, people keep asking me, are you going to have another baby? Like my dental hygienist, are you going to have another one? Or, well, it depends on how they ask. If they say, are you going to have another one? I say, no, not on purpose, at least. Mm-hmm. If they say, do you want another baby? I usually say, yes, many of them. Give them all to me.
Right.
But yeah, it was definitely the straw that broke my camel's back. So poor camel. I hate that saying. What about that? Poor camel is overloaded. Get PETA on that situation. Anyway, that is my check-in for this week. Do you want to take a quick break and then come back with our special segment? It's a fun one.
Yeah, let's do it. Laura, I don't know about you, but I feel like my skin has gone through lots of changes since pregnancy and parenthood.
Oh, for sure. Our skin goes through a lot during different stages of life, whether that's melasma, dry skin, hormonal acne, or what I like to call too exhausted at the end of the day to do a skincare routine skin.
I hear ya. Well, luckily, our sponsor, OneSkin, has a simple skincare routine that even sleep-deprived parents can handle.
I've been using the topical face and eye creams, and not only is it an easy routine, it makes my skin feel healthy and refreshed.
You have been rocking that glowy look lately.
Aw, thank you. Founded by an all-woman team of scientists, OneSkin has developed a proprietary peptide called OS1 that's scientifically validated to improve the health of your skin beneath the surface.
Not only that, their products are backed by extensive lab and clinical data to validate their efficacy and safety for use at any stage in life.
For a limited time, you can try OneSkin for 15% off using the code BFP when you check out at oneskin.co.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and as a busy mom, I admit I sometimes forget to prioritize my mental health. But when I do, I feel so much better. And I've realized that a big part of my mental health is finding support through my community.
Absolutely. It's easy to feel stuck in my routine or cancel plans when leaving the house and the kids feels overwhelming. But I've discovered I can find community
Allo
and support
Moves
for my mental health.
Allo Moves is the award-winning on-demand streaming wellness platform app that has mindfulness, self-care, workouts, and more to help boost your mental and physical well-being.
When I make time for movement and mindfulness, even if it's just for a few minutes, it has such a positive impact on my day. And I love that I can connect with other users in the Allo Moves community to support and encourage each other.
Whether I'm taking a class with a friend in person or connecting with another member in the community comments, Allo Moves really brings people together. We're all just trying to find ourselves because we're all in it together.
With over 100 new classes every month, Allo Moves keeps me motivated and supported. I absolutely love the mindfulness classes. Taking time to focus on my breath and body in the present moment does so much for my well-being all day.
And when I need an energy pick-me-up before diving into the day, I love doing a 15-minute Pilates class to focus my mind and get my blood pumping.
Find yourself together when you join Allo Moves. Join the community on allomoves.com today and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial, plus enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com code BFP for 30-day free trial, plus 20% off an annual membership. allomoves.com code BFP.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Sometimes I just have a week, you know, where work and parenting and keeping up with the house all feels so overwhelming, and I just need to vent about it and get it off my chest. It's amazing how just expressing it out loud can relieve a lot of tension that has built up. We all carry around different stressors, big and small, and when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe place to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. I have worked through many difficult situations in therapy. It's such a great way to get perspective on your experience and learn techniques to help you cope in the moment when things get tough. If you're feeling overwhelmed, down, or stressed and would like to talk to a therapist, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, which means no driving across town to appointments, and you can easily make it work with your schedule. To get started, just fill out a quick questionnaire and you'll get matched with a therapist. If it doesn't feel like a perfect fit, you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/BFP. We're back, and this week's special segment is Mom Confessions.
Mom Confessions.
Where we play a little game where we each tell a truth and a lie about something about our mom life that we'd like to confess or get off our chest. And the other person has to guess which one is the truth and which one's the lie. So Laura, you're up first with your mom confession. What do you got?
Okay. What did I do while hiding from my toddler, Augie? Did I watch Star Wars by myself, or did I eat candy for breakfast?
I can't imagine you would subject yourself to more Star Wars if you had a moment away from that child. So I'm going to go with candy for breakfast.
You are correct. Yeah. This was after Halloween, and we had a bunch of Halloween candy, and our nanny Eliza was here, and the baby was napping, and she was taking care of Augie. And they were having like a good time in the dining / living room. And I didn't want to interrupt them because like if I show my face, it derails everything. Like as long as I stay right. scarce. But I was like really hungry and I needed something to eat. And so I snuck downstairs, and our kitchen has like a back entrance and a front entrance. And I like snuck in the back entrance, like reached my hand up over the counter. Grabbed a handful of Halloween candy and then like slinked back upstairs and closed the door and like literally hid while eating Reese's peanut butter cups for breakfast.
Awesome. I don't blame you. I would have 100% done the same thing. If they're content, you cannot mess up that balance by showing your face.
Mm-mm. No, no. That's not what I'm paying a nanny for.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what did you eat? Reese's peanut butter cups? Snickers?
Oh, so we had like a bunch of Reese's peanut butter cups. We also had Reese's pieces. And there was definitely some like those little itty bitty Mr. Good bars. So that's kind of where I was at that morning. Lots of chocolate.
Nice. Good.
Yeah.
Good start to the day.
The breakfast of champions, Reese's peanut butter cups and a Mr. Good bar. All right, Shauna, what is your first mom confession?
Okay. What did my kid eat that grossed her out so much that she threw up? My meatloaf or our dog's food?
Wow. Well, I can see where both of these could be possible, right? Because I'm guessing we're talking about Cece. And I know how enticing cat and dog food is to like small children. I don't know why they're like fascinated by it, which grosses me out. But I can also see, I don't know, she's not that picky. Like, I feel like she might like your meatloaf. I'm just going to go with dog food because it's the funnier answer.
It is dog food.
Yeah, so gross.
And this was actually Elle. Oh my God. This was a couple months ago. Yes.
She's old enough to know better.
She just, the curiosity got the better of her. And And this was an instance where I wasn't there, actually. I heard about this from Steve. She was just like, wanted to try the dry kibble, like so bad that he was finally like, okay, like try some kibble. Like, I think he ate dog food as a kid and tried it. So he was like, fine, like, you know, beat the curiosity. And she ate it. And then like a couple minutes later, just threw up all over the dining room. So she hasn't eaten dog food ever since. And he had to clean it up. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm really glad you weren't there for this. Cause
yeah, me too.
I feel like that would have put Steve in the doghouse, for lack of a better term. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, lessons are learned.
They are. They still like to eat like dogs if they possibly can, you know, but no more actual dog food.
That's good. That's good. Well, she's really committed to this acting like a dog thing, though. I got to give her kudos for that. Like,
oh, yeah.
Method acting right there.
I wouldn't be surprised if she's like licked water from their bowl behind my back.
So close.
Oh, I'm just kidding. I don't think she's done that. I don't think she has. Crazy kids. All right. So what do you got for us?
Okay. What have I done recently? Did I dance a ballet while breastfeeding in public, or did I participate in a Zoom with a famous person while pumping?
Ooh. Breastfeeding and ballet at the same time seems complicated, but maybe you were like, I don't know, there was something going on. You were like dancing with Augie while the baby was nursing. Okay, but then there's a Zoom where you could definitely be pumping, but with a famous person. I can't think of a situation where you would be talking with a famous person. Maybe you were interviewing someone. I'm going to go with the famous person because that's what I want it to be. And I want to find out who it is.
No, it's actually the ballet.
Oh.
But it's not too far off. I was next door to Corey being on a Zoom with a famous person while I was pumping.
Oh, okay.
Well, he was working on a project with Kristen Chenoweth at some point. So like,
oh, nice.
He was like, oh, I got to go get on a Zoom call with so-and-so, so-and-so, and Kristen. And I was like, Kristen Chenoweth? And I like totally wanted to spy in, but I was pumping. So that didn't work.
So tell me about this ballet.
Yeah. So the ballet is, we went to the Arboretum Lights this week that finally opened, you know, like the Christmas lights thing.
Cool.
I bought tickets ages ago and like got like the first night basically at the earliest time as possible so that the kids would be able to enjoy it. And they did. And it's like this big nighttime light show and you walk through the whole LA Arboretum, which is like a big botanical gardens. And there's like music playing in the different sections. They're all supposed to be like different thematic things, right?
Mm.
Weirdly, there was like a disco forest with like silver mannequins with disco ball heads hanging from the trees. It was a little very strange. And that was playing like Daft Punk or something.
Funny. Okay.
But there was a section where they were like playing the Nutcracker. And this was towards the end of the whole path. And Sebastian was getting cranky because it was like 7:30. He should have been in bed already.
Oh, right.
And he wanted to nurse, but we just did not have time to sit on a bench like and wait to get home because Augie was also fading, right? So I was just like, we can do it. So I'm like walking around nursing him, which I feel like is already like A+ level, you know, advanced placement breastfeeding.
Yeah.
But then the Nutcracker comes on and Augie wanted to dance. And so I was like doing a ballet, like doing little very slow spins and swaying and dancing the Nutcracker while I was breastfeeding.
Did Corey get video of this? Because I want to see it.
No, Corey never takes video or photos unless I specifically ask him to.
Oh, come on.
I know. It's something I really need to talk to him about. Like, I'll be like, there's cute stuff going on. I'm like, hey, can you take a photo? Can you? You're like, come on, guy.
Right?
Like, we need to make memories here. So I was already multitasking.
Mm.
I did not ask him. So
yeah. Hard to add one more thing to the list.
It really was. Plus, it was dark, you know, so that's another thing. So anyway, all right. Do you have another mom confession for us?
Yes. All right. Here's my next one. Okay. Did I give my 2-year-old a caffeinated beverage or did I take a nap in our bounce house?
Why can't it be both? You know what? I'm going to say caffeinated beverage only because I know you don't have time to nap.
Oh, that's so true. I have no time to nap. I should have thought of a better one. Oh, that wasn't a good decoy. Okay, yes. I did give Cece a caffeinated beverage, and here is why. Okay. I went to Target recently, and I usually stock up on LaCroix, right? That's like our bubbly water of choice mm-hmm. in our house. We drink it a lot. And I went to Target, and I saw this whole display of Good and Gather sparkling water. Like, that's mm-hmm. their brand, I guess. And there were like 12 different flavors that looked so good. It was like pear mango, strawberry hibiscus, like all these different flavors. And I got so excited. I was just like, put it in the cart, put it in the cart. I had a cart full of these sparkling waters, and I was like super jazzed to try all these new flavors. And cut to a few days later, I'd like grabbed one from the garage, put it in the refrigerator, grabbed a can, popped it open, like poured half into a cup for Cece for lunch, and she's drinking it, I'm drinking it. And then like 10 minutes later, I just like look more closely at the can, and it says, or I think it says caffeine. And I'm like, oh, does it say no caffeine? Like, like almost a double take, and my brain is mm-hmm. like, well, that's a weird label to have on this sparkling water can.
It's like if it said like gluten and fat free, you're like, yeah, it's sparkling water.
Exactly. So I was really confused by it. And then I looked at it like a few seconds later, and I was like, wait a minute, it says caffeinated. This is caffeinated sparkling water. And it was just a tiny little strip label on the can. Like, nowhere else was it emblazoned that this was caffeinated water. It wasn't advertised as such. And I was like, give me that back. And I like grabbed her cup back, and she's like, what? And I like poured out the rest, and I was like, you are not having caffeine. I don't think she had enough to, you know, jazz her up too much or mm-hmm. make her wild or anything, but you know, I didn't know. I could have easily like given her tons of that, and then she would have like not slept at night. And so we had to make sure that Elle knew about it too. We like had a whole sit down lesson with her. We're like, if you see this on these cans, please don't drink it. Because last thing I need is her with more energy too.
I can imagine. Oh my God. I can imagine Augie on caffeine, like, look out world.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Well, at least it wasn't hard seltzer. I feel like those are dangerous.
Yes. When we did have a pack of White Claw in the house, like the one and only time I bought it, I was definitely like, Elle, do you see this can? Avoid it at all costs. Do not drink it.
Yeah.
Very dangerous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's funny because I also get excited by fizzy water, but we're a Topo Chico family now, which is very bougie, I think. And I recognize that. But it's all because of Disneyland. We went to Disneyland, you know, a little while back, and I talked about it on the podcast. And they sell Topo Chico fizzy water there, sparkling water. I always call it fizzy water because that's what we called it when I was growing up. Mm-hmm. And I bought one for like $5, you know, at the end of the day at Disneyland. And I took a sip of it, and it was like the best thing I've ever had in my entire life. It was so refreshing.
Really?
Well, it's extra bubbly. It was just, it was cold and bubbly and refreshing. You know how tired you are at the end of a day, right? At mm-hmm. Disneyland. And I gave Corey, like, I was like, here, have a sip of this. This is so good. And he took a sip. He was like, holy fuck, that's amazing. And he was like, you go buy more of that. So we spent like $20 on Topo Chico. So anyway, now I buy Topo Chico, but it's not that easy to find. Like, they sell it at our Whole Foods and they sell it at the Fonz, but like, it goes fast.
Oh, wow. I've never even heard of it.
It's a Mexican brand, I guess. So anyway, the reason I'm telling you this is that there's a funny story. I took Augie to Vaughn's recently, and we were going down the fizzy water aisle, and I looked, and the Topo Chico section was totally empty. And I kind of made a joke, big deal out of it. It was like, oh no, the Topo Chico is gone. What are we going to do? No more Topo Chico. Right. Then we get home, and like a couple days later, Augie turns to me and he's like, why did you cry in the grocery store? I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, you cried because there was no Topo Chico. And now every time we go to the store together, he's like, is there Topo Chico? Is the Topo Chico there?
He's all concerned about you missing your Topo Chico.
Yeah. So I get it. I get the excitement over mm-hmm. the fizzy water.
Yes. Well, I'll have to try to find Topo Chico and give myself a new expensive habit.
Yeah. It comes in glass bottles, though. which is fancy. Nice for the, I know, totally fancy. Anyway.
All right. What's your next mom confession?
Okay. Did I make my 9-month-old baby use an adult potty, or did I pee in my baby's diaper?
By adult potty, you just mean toilet, right?
Yeah, everything's a potty now.
Ah, okay.
Corey will turn to me. He's like, oh, I've got to go potty.
No!
I know. It's bad.
God. Well, moms using their kids' diapers, I've just heard a lot, like stuck in traffic, gotta go, et cetera, et cetera. So that is very plausible. The having Sebastian sit on a toilet, I can't fathom what scenario would bring that about. So I'm gonna guess you used a baby's diaper.
You are correct. You are correct about that one.
Why?
Well, I just want to say real quick, there are people who like do the thing where they like dangle their babies over a toilet. I think it's called like elimination communication or whatever. So
right.
It is plausible in defense of my fake answer.
True, but I just knew that you were not, as far as I knew, you were not teaching him elimination communication.
You are correct about that. Yeah.
In defense of my logic.
Very good. Very good. We are both defensible. So... Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this happened recently. My voice, as you know, was all messed up because we like got a cold and I was coughing a lot. And my pelvic floor is generally okay, which is kind of a surprise after 2 kids. Like after the C-section, I had a little bit of like stress incontinence, as they say. Like if you cough or sneeze, you pee a little. And I think a lot of our listeners probably have a very similar situation. Mm-hmm. And I was really worried that after my VBAC, it would be even worse. But thankfully, it's actually pretty good. Like usually I can sneeze or cough and I'm fine. And it's actually something I haven't really thought much about lately because like I surprisingly have a okay control over that, which I'm very pleased about. Mm-hmm. That said, when you have like a massive cold that causes you to cough uncontrollably, like in fits, I don't know if any mom's pelvic floor is like built for that.
Mm-hmm. <You know? laughs> Right.
And usually I'll use like pads, or I have those like absorbent underwear things that I don't know, they work kind of okay. And I'll like, if I know I'm going to have a hard day, I'll wear one as insurance, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we had to take Augie to get a COVID test because, you know, we had been sick and it was required for school. And so I like took him to the doctor and we like had to wait a while in the car. It was like this whole thing. And when I was in the car, I realized I didn't have like a pad on or anything. Like I had forgotten and I could feel like the tickle in my throat.
Oh,
I was like,
no.
Fuck. And then I looked in the back seat and I had like my stash of Sebastian's diapers just hanging out.
Uh-huh.
So I was just like, well, we're sitting in the car waiting until we like are able to go in because they don't want you to go in early to the doctor's office.
Oh, right.
You can't be in the waiting room, all that crap. Right. And so we're just sitting there in the parking lot and I'm like looking around. I'm like, Augie, I'm just going to do something real quick. I like unbutton my pants and like shove it out. And it was just insurance. And actually, I didn't need it in the end. It was fine. Uh-huh. But like, okay. I didn't want to have some kind of accident and then have to go into the doctor's office. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't have a sweater to tie around my waist or anything. So, I feel a little embarrassed admitting this to the world. But I feel like our listeners may understand where I'm coming from. So
I think it's genius. It's there. It's basically serves the same purpose as like a thick pad. So I say good on you for thinking on your feet.
I'm glad I remembered to take it out before I went back to the doctor's office, though. That would have been weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you like fold up the sides or were like the flaps sticking out or what?
It was just sort of like open like a pad. You know, they're very similar to like what you go home from the hospital with. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's about the same size. So yeah, it just fit right in. It turned out to be a good choice. So.
Nice.
And Augie didn't even care. He was like, whatever.
Oh, yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. So, yeah, that is my final mom confession.
I love it.
Do you have one more for us?
I do.
Okay.
What did I do? I listened to a murder podcast in the car with my kids, or I yelled at a customer service rep in front of my kids.
Oh, man. That's a hard one. Okay. You're very nice. You're very nice. And I think that it would take a lot to push you over the edge with a customer service representative. And I do know you like your podcasts, and I can totally see it coming on and you like either auto playing or you thinking it, they're not going to pay attention or something. So I'm going to go with murder podcast.
Incorrect.
Whoa.
This is not my best moment I'm about to share.
Okay. I just talked about using my child's diaper to pee into in a parking lot. So I think you're okay.
Yeah. I mean, after all, it is mom confessions, right?
It is.
So a couple months ago, I noticed a terrible smell outside our house in our front yard area. And I was like, oh, I think like an animal died around here. Mm-hmm. You know, when you just know that smell.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it kind of went away after a couple days. But then, like, 3 or 4 days later, I was looking out Elle's window, which faces our front lawn, and I saw a huge carcass on our lawn. Like, I think it was a possum. It was really hard to tell. Like, at this point, mm-hmm. it was pretty decomposed and just looked like fur and, like, whatever. And it was just mm-hmm. gross, like, really nasty. And so I was like, oh, my God, I got to deal with this.
That red-tailed hawk was back, huh?
Oh, maybe that hawk is wreaking havoc.
Although, I don't know. A hawk and a possum, that's a big kill for them.
True. It could have been a coyote or just natural. Yeah. You know, who knows? So I called our sanitation department and reported the incident. And she was like, okay, like, where is it? And I'm like, it's in the front yard. It's in the grass. And she's like, okay, great. We'll send a person to come out within the next 24 hours. And no one comes out in the next 24 hours. I'm very nice, right? I'm like, well, you know, they probably just haven't gotten around to it yet. Mm-hmm. And like 48 hours go by. And then like finally on day three, I'm like, no one's coming to get this animal. Like, what's going on? And so I called them back and I was like, hi, yeah, no one came to get this animal. And she's like, yes, they did. And I was like, no. She's like, yeah, someone came by that day and took a picture of your front yard. I have it right here. And they couldn't see the animal.
What?
And I'm like, well, did they look for it? She's like, it wasn't visible. So they left. And I'm like, well, why didn't they come to my front door and just ask me where it was? Like, I could have told them. She's like, well, that's not what they do. I'm like, okay. Getting a little bit more frustrated. Yeah. She's like, I'll send someone else out again today and put a note on your door and I'll make sure they go to the door and say that, you know, the animal's in your house. So that way they have to knock on your door. Like, I think this is talking to different people every time, you know, mm-hmm. they were nice enough. And so 24 hours goes by and no one comes again. That animal is still in our yard and it's so gross. And so I call back. I'm like, no one came. She's like, yes, they did. We have a picture here of your house. Oh, the animal wasn't visible. I was like, what is this like rotating nightmare of the same thing over and over? What is happening? And this happened, I think, one more time, right? And so no one came and got the animal. They couldn't see it. I kept trying to explain, like, it's on the east side of our yard. It's next to the hedges. Mm-hmm. It's in the grass. And they still would not get it. And so finally, like, the last time I called back, I was pissed. You know, I'm stressed out. I've got so much stuff going on. And, like, something about this gross animal in our yard, like, just was really grossing me out and making me upset. Mm-hmm. And I called and I was like, seriously, someone needs to come and get this animal. I don't know what to do with it. She's like, ma'am, it's not visible in your yard. And I'm like, well, I'm sorry that the decomposed carcass is shorter than my grass. What do you want me to do? Do you want me to shovel it onto my driveway? She's like, yeah, that would be great. I'm like, what?
Oh my God.
I'm like, shovel it on my fucking driveway. Like, I just got so mad. I was like, fine, I'll shovel it onto my driveway. And my kids were like listening to me yell at this lady. And it was so unlike me, but I was just at my wit's end with this. And I hung up and like, Steve's like, Shauna, that's ridiculous. Like, you're not going to shovel it onto the driveway. Like, I was ready to go out and just shovel it and throw it on there in spite, you know? And he's like, I'll just put in a service order on 311, which is like our city's service app, right? You mm-hmm. can put things like graffiti and stuff on there. He's like, oh, yeah, and you can take pictures and everything and put it right into this app. And he goes, boop, 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 puts it through and they come right away and take it. But I was making the mistake of like calling and talking to a person and trying to get them to come. It was ridiculous. And I was not my best self that day. And I felt really bad about yelling at that lady.
Did you talk to your girls about it afterwards?
I didn't really say anything. Well, Cece was with Steve in the living room, and she kind of like, I don't know, you know, she didn't even seem to know what was really going on with that. And I think Elle was playing a game or something and probably just too into it. But I was just embarrassed mm-hmm. that I did it, you know, in their presence and that I did it, period. Like, yeah, usually I'm extremely nice to people, especially customer service people, because I've been there. I've answered phones for, I don't know, Discover Card or whatever back when I was in college. So I felt, yeah, really bad about that.
Well, here's me telling you, you're probably okay in that. Like, yeah, it's not good that you lost your temper with this woman, but like, I know you, and I know you had to have been pushed to the brink in order to do that, because like, it would take a lot to get mm-hmm. you to be rude. Like, I know, I've known you for what, 16 years or something. So yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
But anyway, I do think that's the end of our mom confessions.
All right. Let's move on to our BFPs and BFNs.
Okay. Okay. We are back, and we close every show with a big fat positive or a big fat negative from the week. Shauna, what do you have for us? BFP or BFN?
I wish I had a BFP to share for this week after my sad check-in, but I don't. I have a BFN. Yeah. So Chili passed away on Tuesday. Wednesday, I started my Thanksgiving break. I took off work, and I was just barely recovering emotionally from Chili's loss when Elle started getting very sick and throwing up, which, you know, how I feel about that anyway. So I'm like super anxious, like, oh, great. Like, oh, my gosh. Can I even have like one day to mm-hmm. relax? And she ended up getting sick so many times through the night, and then spiked a fever. And so I was up, you know, with her, and so was Steve. And he did a teledoc appointment to check in, see, get a doctor's opinion. And he was mm-hmm. like, well, I think you guys should go to the ER because it could be an appendicitis.
Ugh.
And so at 2 a.m., I took Elle to the hospital.
This is 2 a.m. on Thanksgiving Day?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Wednesday night. So yeah, it would be essentially Thanksgiving Day morning. Yeah.
Just when you want to be in an ER.
I know. And before this, like as soon as Elle started getting sick, I texted my mom, who was supposed to come into town on Thanksgiving Day. I was like, she's really sick, and I don't think you should come, basically. Like, I don't want you guys to get sick. I don't, you know, what if all the rest of us start getting sick? Like, my mom and my mom and stepdad would be here, and that, you know, it's just like, just don't come. So
yeah,
they canceled their trip, and I went to the ER with her, and they hooked her up to an IV and ran a bunch of tests, took a bunch of blood. She got an ultrasound on her abdomen to check for appendicitis. And luckily, she was cleared of that. It was not appendicitis.
That's good.
Yeah. And we were there for hours. Like, we left at 10 a.m. on Thanksgiving Day. They told me when we left, like, if her fever doesn't come back down, like, you can't control it with ibuprofen and Tylenol,
mm-hmm.
come back. Like, that was one of the things. Like, if she starts vomiting more, if the fever is uncontrollable, come back. So I go home, I take a quick shower, I lay down, take a 2-hour nap or something like that. By the time I wake up, it's been a few hours since we've been home from the hospital, and Steve's like, I can't get her fever to come down at all. It's like 102 or something. He's like, I've given her Tylenol and given her ibuprofen. And she feels so sick, like she's so lethargic, you know. And we decided I needed to take her back to the ER. So on Thanksgiving Day, at like 4 p.m., we went back to the emergency room and spent another, I don't know, 5 hours or so in there, where she got hooked up again, an IV in a different arm. And they ran tests again. They tested her urine. They did like a COVID test, flu test, RSV test, everything. And nothing came back positive. They thought maybe a urinary tract infection, because there was like a slightly elevated white blood cell count in her urine, which I know your guy mm-hmm. went through, right? Where they're like, well, it could be this. So they started her on antibiotics, and we left and got home maybe at like 9 o'clock that night. And clearly we did not have Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that is a cancel Thanksgiving kind of situation for sure. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Didn't you have like all the food though already in your fridge?
Yeah, I got it from Whole Foods. That's like the one thing I was able to do on Wednesday. Like after chili, I dealt with chili, and then before dealing with Elle, I was like, gotta go to Whole Foods. Actually, I sent Steve to go to Whole Foods, and the line was so long. He spent like 2 hours in line there to get the food. It was just a crazy week. It was just rough emotionally, so physically tiring because I got like maybe 2 hours of sleep, you know, between Wednesday and Thursday, just draining and, you know, worrying about your kid and worrying if everyone else in the family is going to get sick.
So when did she start feeling better?
She did start feeling better on Friday. Like we were finally able to get her fever down like by the next day. So she kind of just got better on her own. And luckily, none of us have gotten it yet. So whatever this virus or whatever, I don't know. We've lucked out.
Wow.
So far.
Poor thing. Poor all of you. I'm so sorry. It was like the worst week ever.
It was a bad week.
Yeah. Well, next week will be better, hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it will be.
So wait, did you ever get to eat your turkey or what?
Oh, yes. We finally had the energy and wherewithal to do that on Saturday night. So we had a Saturday Thanksgiving with our family, and Steve's mom had come into town. So we did that.
Okay, good. I'm glad you got your turkey and gravy and all that good stuff at least. Yeah, a little later.
I did. And I will say the bonus BFP through all of it is Steve. You know, he's such a great husband and partner to, like, especially like the chili stuff, like dealing with that emotionally. He was just like my rock through all of that and really good with Elle and everything too. So he's my BFP.
He's a good one. Maybe he'll actually listen through this episode so he can hear you praise him.
That'll be our test to see if he listens. All right. So that's me. What about you? Hopefully you have something a little brighter to share with us.
No, I don't, Sean. Well, actually, it is brighter than yours. Yours takes the cake. But I do have a BFN.
Oh, shucks. Okay. What do you got?
All right. It's like exasperating. Okay. Two incidents happened this week, which made me realize I need to up my safety and childproofing situation in this house. I feel like we had our old house very dialed in with the childproof stuff. But this house is a lot bigger and there's more rooms to protect. And we've just kind of relied on like not letting the kids in like our bedroom, for example, for childproofing, right? Like they don't come in here, so we don't need to childproof. So the first incident was I was doing something with Sebastian. I was like solo parenting for a few hours for whatever reason. I don't even remember why. And I was like chasing Sebastian around our bedroom. Like I need to go into our bedroom to get something, right? And I've talked about how Sebastian's such a stinker. Like he wants to crawl around everywhere. So he like wouldn't let me hold him. So I put him down and Augie's following us. And I'm just like, okay, I have to focus on the baby because the baby gets into more trouble. And Augie, he's like almost three, right? Like he can do pretty good by himself, right? Mm-hmm. And I hear him like he gets this little like box that I have in my bedside table area. That it's just like one of those little like cloth IKEA bins that I just throw a bunch of random stuff in, right?
Mm, right.
And he gets it. He's like, "What's in here?" Like, because kids love nothing more than to like go through random boxes and drawers.
Oh, so true.
And I'm like, "Oh, it's like my mascara and, you know, lip gloss, whatever. It's like nothing serious, right?" So I'm like, "Yeah, sure, you can play with that." So I'm trying to keep Sebastian from dying in one of the many ways he could possibly die in our bedroom, you know, or get his fingers smushed in our drawers or whatever. And I hear Augie being like, "I'm just doing a little work. I'm just going to do a little work." And I didn't think anything of it. I thought it was cute. Like, whatever. He's doing work. Okay, cute. And then I turn around and he has stuck a metal screwdriver bit for like a electric drill, you know?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Into the electric socket.
Ah, no.
And he was like, "Look, I'm doing some work." And I flipped and I like picked him up and I like literally threw him on our bed.
Uh-huh.
And this is probably not my best moment. I should have like not grabbed it, but I like grabbed the thing out of the socket.
Uh-huh.
And I yelled at him. I was like, "You can never do that. That's very dangerous." You know, like, and he got scared and started crying.
Yeah.
And then like I calmed down a little bit and I talked, you know, then like I tried to do the repair work, you know, where I was like, "I yelled at you. I lost my temper because I was scared. I'm really sorry. You know, I there's no excuse for me yelling at you. And it was my fault that there was a thing. Like, I shouldn't have been letting you play with that. But we need, you need to learn. You can never put anything in these electric sockets. And, you know, tried to talk to him about it. That was incident one. Incident two, he wanted to help me cook. And I was trying to, like, cook dinner. And I was trying to, like, multitask. And he wanted to be in the kitchen. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to set up the learning tower far enough away from the stove where I'm, like, boiling pasta water so he can, like, watch but not be, like, burned, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he got tired of just, like, watching me cook pasta because it's boring as shit. And he was like, I'm just going to go over here. And we have, like, a whiteboard. So I thought he was over, like, I didn't think. He was over playing with the whiteboard. Like, he got the pens and was, like, drawing on the whiteboard. And I turn back around to, like, check on the pasta. And I hear him say, I'm just going to take a little bit of medicine.
Oh, no.
And I was like, we did this thing when Sebastian was taking a lot of his reflux meds. Like, every night he had to take reflux meds and a syringe, right? An oral syringe. And so Augie would get jealous. So we would give him a syringe full of dihydrogen monoxide, which is just water. And be like, oh, you need your dihydrogen monoxide. And he'd, like, play with the syringe and it would be fine, right? Well, we've all been battling this cough, cold, whatever. And so we had given Sebastian some infant's ibuprofen the night before. And usually I try to put everything on a high shelf, like really high, far away. But, like, you know, in the madness of having two kids, I had left it on the countertop. And I don't know how, but Augie got the childproof cap off. And I turn around and he was, like, just sipping it like it was a drink.
God, no.
So another freak out, another, like, grabbing him, yelling at him, then another, like, whole thing where I have to explain to him why I was, you know, why I was upset and how, blah, blah, blah. And thankfully, I went on, like, the poison control website and, like, he could have literally ingested the entire bottle and it would have been not hurt him in any way because it was just a tiny little bottle and he's big enough that it, you know, it would have just been like, don't take any more ibuprofen that day or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it was still like, oh, shit. So that was a real wake-up call. I actually went down into our basement and found the, like, medicine lock boxes that we had in our old house.
Oh, right.
And got those out and filled them up with the medicine and put them locked on a really high shelf. And so now we're, like, actually doing that. We're, like, not forgetting. We're not just, like, casually putting things on countertops. Like, we are being really strict. Because had it been Tylenol, it could have been really dangerous.
Oh, really? Is that worse?
Oh, yes, much. Tylenol is so easy to overdose on, like, kind of scary. And I think it kills your liver. I think it's either your kidney or your liver. I can't remember. But it's like bad, bad, bad to overdose on Tylenol. Ibuprofen's a lot harder to overdose on. So, and it doesn't, like, do the same, like, oh, and now you're dead thing. So it's a lot better that it wasn't Tylenol, but still, still not good. Still a big wake up call. So, you know, I feel like it's that thing where when you have two kids, you kind of, like, think the older one is more mature than they really are sometimes.
Yes.
Because they're so much more mature than the baby, right? Like, my almost 3-year old seems like, you know, he's in college compared to the baby.
Right.
But I forget he's not even 3 yet, you know, like, I can't trust him to not sip on a bottle of, like, delicious tasting infant's ibuprofen.
Yes.
Yeah. But those were my BFNs this week.
Did you get outlet covers?
Yeah. So I went to Home Depot and bought a 36 pack because that was part of the problem is that our old house didn't even have 36 outlets, you know? And
like,
this house is, you know, more than twice the size. And so we just didn't have enough outlet covers. So, but now there's outlet covers on everything.
Good.
And yeah, definitely paying close attention. So, listeners, if you're listening to this and being like, oh, we haven't secured our outlets or we haven't secured our meds, let this be the reminder before you find your child sticking a drill bit into the outlet, which is horrifying.
Yikes.
So, yeah, it all worked out okay, but
good.
Anxiety inducing for sure.
Indeed.
But you know what's not anxiety inducing?
What?
Recording this podcast with you, Shauna. I enjoy it every week.
I know. It's so fun. I love it. I think we need to wrap this one up, though, as fun as it is.
Yeah, but before we do that, do you want to read one of our 5-star reviews?
Oh, yes. I think you're up. Why don't you read one for us?
This one's from someone whose username is A-Town-Beads. It says, thank you, 5 stars. I started listening to this podcast from the beginning when I found out why I was pregnant. I listened each week in conjunction with my pregnancy, and now I've just had my baby and I'm enjoying listening as they talk about their newborn babies. I realized they recorded this 3 or so years ago, but I enjoy listening along with the stage I'm in. Thank you, Shauna. Oh, she just thank you.
Oh, her name's not Shauna?
Maybe. It's unclear. But if your name is Shauna or not, and it's probably like 3 years from now because you're following along.
Yeah, true.
Live. But thank you so much.
Oh, that's wonderful. How sweet. Thank you for doing that and sending those kind words our way. Listeners, if you want to give us a 5-star review, we might read it on the show. So head on over to iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcast and give us a review. And if you have any mom confessions that you want to share with us, you know we'd love to hear them. Laura, where can everyone reach us?
We are on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at BFP Podcast. We have a website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com. If you want to send us an email, just send it to contact@BigFatPositivePodcast.com. And if you want to send us a voicemail, that's where you send it to. And if you want to join the coolest group of people on the internet, just search Facebook for Big Fat Positive Community, request to join. Make sure you answer those membership questions so that we know you're not a robot, and you'll get sent straight through to that private community full of amazing people talking about all things parenting and pregnancy.
Our show is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
Bye.